Hare Krishna. So I would like to begin by first offering my appreciation and gratitude to all the devotees here for allowing me to be present in this amazing preaching facility and holy Tirtha. So I would like to beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas that you see fit to empower me to speak something relevant and bona fide. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Sitaram Lachman Hanuman Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. From the pages of this exalted scripture, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the PhD of bhakti, of spiritual science. I am definitely not a PhD in qualification to speak, but by the mercy of Vaishnavas, hopefully I can say something relevant and bona fide. So I've been asked to speak on verses 5 and 6 of the Shikshastikam. So maybe what we can do is just read the verses together. I think everyone here is familiar with these verses, so maybe we can just repeat the Sanskrit stroke together, and then I'll just speak, if that's okay, Krishna willing. Okay, so text 5 and 6. 5 is on the board, 6 is not, so we'll all be tested whether we know it or not. Ai nandana tanuja kinkaram bhatitam mam bishame bavambaro kripayata va para pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya nayam galarashu darya varanam gad garvudiya gira pulakene chatamba pukara tavanama grahani bhavishyati. Translation of these two verses. So there are different translations. Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then we have the other translation, which is there, which I think has come from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So I'll read the ones first from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So for Anchalila, chapter 20, text 32, verse number 5 of Shikshastikam. O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant. But because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nescience. Now, please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. And then verse 6, which is chapter 20 of Anchalila, text 36. My dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs of my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? Jai Shri Shikshastikam Ki Jai. So just chant the Mangalacharna prayers and then speak something. Om Agana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam gena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamayam Dadati swapadantikam Vandeham shi gurun Shi yuta parakamalam Shi gurun vaishnavamscha Shi rupam sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tamsa Jivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Shishik Shasta, I've heard a little bit of the classes that have been given previously, so I think quite a bit of background has been given to these wonderful verses as given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His 8 verses, Astak Shiksha, giving us instruction in which, in one sense, our entire philosophy is contained, and so many different instructions are there to assist us and help us. was hearing a lecture series once previously, which was describing how these Shikshastakam verses take us from Shraddha to Prem. So I don't know if anyone has explained like that so far. Of course, there are many different ways that the verses can help us and explain so many different things. But describing how, starting with the Cheto Darpana Marjanam verse, which is like in the beginning, there is some Shraddha, and Shraddha comes, faith develops through some knowledge. So we have some knowledge and understanding of the process, some bandha gan, some knowledge is there. So with that knowledge, we can develop faith. And we have Shraddha. So this Cheto Darpana Marjanam verse is giving us the knowledge of what the Sankirtan movement is. That it is the prime benediction for humanity at large. Yesterday we were discussing this because we're having a marathon leading up to Gaur Purnim to distribute books. And a few devotees gathered together, and we were discussing the benediction that comes upon everyone who participates in the Sankirtan movement, how everyone is benefited, the person who's performing Sankirtan, those who hear the Sankirtan, anyone who sees it, all the living entities who are around when Sankirtan is performed. And I was reminded, especially around book distribution, the potency of book distribution and Srila Prabhupada's books, and how each of these books are little deities and worshipable. And was remembering once how Shivaram Raj was describing how when you're out on Sankirtan, some amazing things happen with the books. And the other day we were out and we had a box of books, and someone came along and they kneeled down beside the books and started to tie their shoes. And as they were kneeling down next to the books, I was thinking, oh, just see how they're offering respects to the books and getting benedicted by the books, and nobody's even there. And I remember one time we were distributing books way back when, and in Bracknell, of all places. And actually, some, you know, when you go out, some days are good and some days are good, but not as good as the other days. And sometimes when Lord Chaitanya's mercy starts to flow, it's like the books start to distribute themselves. And they were moving so fast that it was like the lid of the box just was hopping open, popping open, and the books were popping out themselves and just jumping into people's hands. And I remember sometimes it gets so ecstatic that you can say almost anything and people just take a book. And I was just literally putting a book in people's hands and just saying, we're part of Lord Chaitanya's mission to spread love and peace all around the world. Everybody's taking a book and giving a donation. And people were just like, yeah, great. And then just, the books were just flying out. So this Sankirtan mission, of course, Sankirtan means kirtan, you know, the glorification of the Lord, and communally doing that. Generally, we understand kirtan. Sankirtan means congregational chanting. But Srila Prabhupada also transformed that when we all go out and distribute books, because his books are like the spoken kirtan, also in congregationally doing this. But this Sankirtan, this coming together and chanting the holy names and glorifying the Lord, is a benediction for all of us. And somehow, in the beginning, we got a little taste of this chanting of the holy name. And because of this taste, and with a little bit of knowledge of the possible benefits for us and for others, then with this Shraddha, with this faith, then we continue. And then from this, we begin to associate with devotees. And by this association of devotees, we go deeper into our understanding, Nam Nam Akarhi Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis, that this holy name alone, it can render all benedictions to living beings. And we begin to see that the benedictions that are being bestowed upon us are countless, in fact, unlimited, and all types of benedictions. The Lord fulfills all of our desires. I remember when I first got connected with devotees and wound up moving into the temple. Before living in the temple, I had led a different lifestyle in my previous life. I used to spend a lot of time in Soho, not chanting Hare Krishna, not distributing books, not having darshan and giving a donation, but playing music and visiting the local area, the local sites. And I remember I used to always want to live in Soho. It was interesting. In fact, there was one nice little gathering place where we used to all hang out. I used to think, yeah, I just want to live right behind there, which just happened to be Soho Square area. And then when I joined the temple, I remember one time waking up and going from Mangalarti and thinking, oh my God, I'm living in Soho. The Lord has fulfilled my desires. But now that I'm here, I'm not engaging in any of the things I wanted to be here for originally. So the Lord is fulfilling all benedictions. The holy name is fulfilling so many of our desires. And the Lord is very crafty, very tricky. So he can pull us in and put us where he wants us to be and engage our desires. So this Nam Nam Akarhi Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis Tatrapitani Yamatasmarane Nakalaha. This holy name is rendering all benediction, and the benediction comes through the association of devotees. Because it's only by the mercy of a devotee or someone who has bhakti can we actually get bhakti. Although it's described that the chanting is the most important of the nine processes, but we can't chant unless we first hear. So how would we even know to chant unless someone told us? And how would we know that they told us unless we were hearing? So this kirtanam is only possible by this by hearing, by shravanam. So if we engage in this process and associate with devotees, and our progress often is by the mercy of devotees. When we hear from devotees, our knowledge increases and our intensity of practice also increases. I remember one lady who came to the temple quite a number of years ago. also from book distribution. And she came into reception quite agitated and frustrated, a little upset. She felt like she had been cheated. And she put the book on the table and she said, "One of your people sold me this book and he told me that it would help me to quit smoking." And the receptionist, being a little intelligent, said, "Oh, yes, it will." She said, "No, it won't. I went through the whole book. It doesn't say anything anywhere in there about giving up smoking." And he said, "Yeah, but you're missing the point." And he began to preach to her. And somehow he convinced her to keep the book and go upstairs for the class. So she went upstairs to the class. And in the class, she heard about the chanting and how by chanting, you can give up all unwanted habits. All the bad things that are in the heart can be cleaned away. So she started to connect by hearing from the devotee. And someone spoke to her after and convinced her to start chanting. So literally on that day, she started chanting. Anyway, it went on for some time. Her being frustrated because her goal was to give up smoking, not really to develop love for Krishna. She just wanted to give up smoking. So every time she would complain to someone, "I'm still not giving up," they would say, "Just keep chanting, just keep chanting." And actually, you have to chant more. So eventually, she started chanting 16 rounds. And then she was in a lecture where she heard someone talking about chanting. And they described that how when you chant, the Lord is dancing on your tongue. And she was thinking, "Oh, that sounds interesting." And then they said, "And actually, you should try to chant once 64 rounds. Because this is what Lord Chaitanya did, and this is what he said was prescribed number of rounds." And Srila Prabhupada started, so she was thinking 64. So she decided one day to try to chant 64 rounds. And while she was chanting, and just going on chanting, her normal process was that when she would finish 16 rounds, she would, you know, have a break. So she was chanting, and she realized that if I chant 64 rounds, at least for one day, I probably won't smoke a cigarette. So that'd be pretty good. So she got like to 30, and anyone who's chanted 64 rounds, you know, there's a point at which you kind of break through the chanting, and no longer are you chanting the holy name, but the holy name seems to be chanting you. It's just like the tongue won't stop vibrating, you know, and you just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. And so she started to get some taste, and she chanted more than 64 rounds actually. And then at the end, she grabbed her cigarettes and she put a cigarette in her mouth and she lit the cigarette and she took one inhalation, and the thought came into her mind that Krishna was just dancing on my tongue. And I've just polluted that whole area where Krishna was dancing. And she immediately put the cigarette out and threw the cigarettes in the bin. And she rushed to the temple and she came in and she said, "It worked. It worked." So this, by hearing from devotees, our faith increases. And our faith in the holy name, we know if we go for these japa retreats, so many different hearing from exalted persons. So this is sadhu sangha. And then bhajana kriya. And bhajana kriya means that we begin to practice ourselves. We really take serious. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs, Trinadapi sunichena torapi sahishana manina mangadena kirtaniya sadahari, that by this chanting, if we can do it all the time, but we have to do it in the right spirit. We have to have the right consciousness. So our bhajan, our devotional practice, requires that we do it with the right mood. One wonderful personality said to me very early on that it's not about what you do, it's how you do it. So it's not always what we do. Often we may say that we're doing something nice. I'm doing it for Krishna. But if we do it in a poor mood or with a poor attitude, then it has a reverse effect sometimes. You know, we can build up the most wonderful and amazing preaching project, but if we're offending devotees in the course of doing it, then there won't be anyone left to inhabit the place. So it's not just what we do, but it's how we do it. It's the mood with which we do it. And Lord Chaitanya gives the direction, Trinadapi sunichena torapi sahishana. So we have to be humble, we have to be tolerant, and we have to be respectful. And all of that is only possible if we don't expect any respect. The big problem is we often expect some respect or think that we deserve respect, whoever it is, no matter what our post or title. The nature of the false ego is to want respect. So this is the the bhajana kriya. And then, of course, bhajan, by performing the bhajan in the right way, that leads us to the most ecstatic section of devotional practice, which is anartha nivritti, the confrontation of those wonderfully unwanted things within the heart. So, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. So I have no desire to accumulate wealth. So this fruitive activity, fruitive mentality, desire to get the fruits, desire to enjoy the results of our labor. This is one of the anarthas, stimulating from lust, greed, envy arises. Because if we want the fruits, then we usually want more fruits than somebody else. And if somebody else is getting more fruits, then we want to take their fruits or knock them down to size. Nadanam najanam. So, nasundarim. So I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, members of the opposite sex. I do not want to enjoy, I do not want to exploit the material energy. But this is also an unwanted, an anartha. Artha means something that is wealth. Artha, right? Means wealth or fortune. And anartha means something that is not wealth. It has no value. It's unwanted. And if something doesn't have any value, then why do you want it? You don't want it. You don't need it. So, and I have no desire to have followers. I don't want to be recognized as someone special that everyone worships and follows behind. I remember speaking to the trumpet player, Ekalavya, thank you. Ekalavya Prabhu once, and he was describing how when he read this verse, this nadanam najanam nasundanam verse, how this was the verse that convinced him that the Hare Krishnas were the most serious people. He said, who else is saying they don't want wealth? They don't want to enjoy sex life and that they don't want any followers. And he said he realized at that moment that these people are the most serious spiritual people I've ever met. So he committed himself. So like this, this is the anartha nivritti stage, the stage of trying to remove these unwanted things. And then we come to today's verse, verse 5. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So we know that once we come through the stage of anartha nivritti, once you pass through many of the tests, I don't know because I'm very much in the beginning of anartha nivritti, battling, being pounded day in and day out by the unwanted desires within the heart. But going on the other side of anartha nivritti, once one passes through all these tests and begins to cleanse all these unwanted things from the heart, one comes to the platform of nishta, where one becomes fixed. One becomes fixed in his original identity. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exemplifying here, O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, recognizing I am your eternal servitor. I'm your servant. Accepting that position of servant, which is not such an easy post to accept. Generally in life, people don't go through the want ads looking to be a humble servant. You know, they look for the post that has the most prominent position, you know, to do the job that has the biggest title with the biggest paycheck. You know, that's what we're looking for. But to accept that I'm an eternal servant of someone else is going to require a lot of humility. I'm your eternal servitor. And then, yet somehow or other, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Interesting, this these two different translations from the one from the CC, And the other one that we most often recite, from the CC it says, by my own fruitive acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nescience. So it seems to set up two types of understanding. One is that somehow or other I've fallen into the ocean of birth and death, which means somehow I've come here from somewhere else. Now I'm in the material world. So it seems to, at least the way I've always understood it, is identify that somehow we've come here, somehow or other, which we know there's the big debate. How, and I'm not going to open that debate, by the way, because it's just not worth it. Actually, we were at a interfaith gathering last week at St. George's Hospital, and the topic was death. And one of the questions was, is it important to know where we've come from in order to, perform some sort of religious activity in this life and go back to wherever that is or wherever we might go, even if we didn't come from somewhere? But is it important? So there were lots of answers. And I was thinking it's another one of those achintya bheda abheda tattva, simultaneously. Yes, and simultaneously, no. I was thinking, of course, it's important that we understand, because if we don't understand where we've come from, in essence, that we've ultimately come from Krishna, right? Aham sarvasya prabhava umata sarvam pravartate yati matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samamvita, that we have an original creator and we've all come from him. We're all originating from the creator, and the idea is that eventually we go back to the creator. So it's important. But how exactly that's come about, in one sense, isn't so important. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example that when a house is on fire, you don't look around to find out what started the fire. That would not be very intelligent. But instead, we get out of the house. So the point is that somehow or other, we're here. And it probably has something to do with my bad attitude, because I still got a bad attitude and it's causing me perpetual problems. So somehow or other I'm here, but I don't want to remain here. And by this process of Sankirtan, I'm realizing that I am an eternal servant. So please pick me up. Pick me up from this ocean of ignorance and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Again, such an intense sign of humility, such words of humility, that it's not, place me as your primary servant. Place me as your foremost servitor at your lotus feet. But place me as one of the millions and millions of atoms. Smallest particle. Jai Shishirada Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lachman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishigorni Tai Ki Jai. You're all so blessed to have such beautiful darshans, such wonderful darshans. So place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Maybe Lord Chaitanya could have said, place me as one of the neutron particles that makes up an atom. But the principle is there. Place me as one of the small particles at your lotus feet. Just bring me back and put me in my constitutional position as a servant. And I'm just an insignificant servant, right? The das, gobi bartur padakamala yur, das, anu das, anu das. Simply the servant of the servant of the servant. So this is the the nishta stage, wanting to be fixed in our constitutional position. So, ayunandana tanuja kankanam patitamam bishame bhavambaro. And then verse 6, once in that position, once we become situated, fixed, nishta, not kanishta, but nishta, then once we're fixed, then what happens is there is some taste, some ruchi comes. And Shivaram Maharaj explains so nicely in his book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, about how in the beginning there's some taste. Everyone here probably experienced, especially in the beginning, there was some magical taste that was there in the beginning of our devotional service. Hopefully it's still there for everyone. But most everyone really remembers, especially in the beginning, that it was like, wow, you know, when you would chant, you know, I've heard so many devotees describe, you know, when they would chant, and the first time they were chanting and offering food, and they felt like the food was glowing, and all this magic synchronicities were happening, and they would meet people, and it was just like, wow, it's like mystical taste, you know, and they just wanted to chant and chant and chant. His Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he describes in one lecture series how this taste is there in the beginning. And actually, it can last throughout our devotional life. But the challenge is that in the beginning, everything is new and fresh. And everyone that we meet, all the devotees are just like saints. And we just think every single devotee is like a sadhu and a saintly person. And we're like, oh. You know, like I remember the first time my mother visited the temple was New Vrindavan. In America, and she dropped me off there, and I took her around, and she had darshan. She met loads of senior devotees, and later I asked her, "So, what did you think?" And she said, "Oh," she said, "I don't belong there." And I said, "No, why not?" She said, "Because I'm not pure enough." I said, "Oh, what do you mean?" She said, "Everyone there was so pure, you could see it; they were all glowing." And I was thinking, "Whoa." My mom's on some exalted platform here. I was like, Mom, it's just a bunch of devotees hanging out there, you know? But she was seeing it with such a different consciousness. She, you know, coming from the murk of material life, when you first meet devotees, it's like, whew. But then once you associate for some time, it goes missing a little bit, you know? What's the famous saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. We become so familiar that, you know, it's just Prabhuji, you know. But before it would have been, oh, Prabhu, you know. Thank you, Prabhu. Everything a devotee would do is, oh, so wonderful. So Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was describing that that's what happens to the taste. The taste is there, but then because of familiarity and because of offenses, then the taste begins to diminish. And then we enter into the other stages. Shivaram Maharaj describes that it's a shadow of the taste. It's a shadow of the taste that we get in the beginning. And we have to go through the process and get ground down and do our dues to get to the other side where we become fixed. And then Krishna gives ruchi. He gives the real taste. And this verse describes, oh my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy names? This is taste. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu in the same lecture was describing that when you chant the holy name, if your hair doesn't stand on end and tears don't stream from your eyes and Krishna doesn't appear in your consciousness in his leela and pastimes, then you're not chanting pure name and you probably have some work to do. So sometimes when I hear devotees saying, yeah, my chanting's good, I think, wow, what must be happening when they chant the holy name, you know? Because my understanding is when your chanting is good, it means you can hardly chant because you're just so overwhelmed with this emotion. Of course, that's not the goal. It's a byproduct. But still, when we're chanting pure names, so this is Lord Chaitanya exhibiting what it means to have real taste for chanting the holy name. When will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy names? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? I'm sure probably everyone here in the room has had some little experience of this type of thing. Something that sometimes you're chanting and you feel the presence, you know, of Nam Prabhu, of Krishna, that there's something there. You know, Srila Rupa Goswami, his prayer that he begs to have thousands of mouths so that he can chant the holy name. And just to hear the holy name, he prays to have thousands of ears, just so that when he chants, he's just chanting and hearing. And it's such a simple process, Srila Prabhupada says, you know, where is the mind? There is no mind. It's just simply hearing and chanting. It's a conversation between the mouth and the ear. That's all there is. You just have to chant and listen. But how challenging is that? How difficult is it? You know, in the success circles, they always describe that it's much more important to hear. We have two ears and one mouth, so we should hear twice as much as we talk. But unfortunately, that doesn't always work that way. Some people just, once they start talking, you need to have a million ears to go on hearing what they have to say. But this verse describing this ruchi, this taste, so that we have something to understand that we, every day, Srila Prabhupada described, the most difficult thing that we should do every day should be to chant our rounds. And whatever it is, 90%, 99%, 99.9% of our progress in spiritual life depends on the chanting of the holy name. The main vow we take at initiation, the most important vow, Srila Prabhupada said, is to chant minimum 16 rounds every day. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. It's the cleansing process. So we have to see, are we really taking it seriously? I mean, for sure, we're taking it a lot more seriously than most people. Most of the world doesn't even worry about chanting the name. Although in all the world's religion, glorification of the name is there. But most people are just not concerned. So we're definitely taking it more seriously than most. But again, as Srila Prabhupada said, you can chant the holy name for countless lifetimes. You can be chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for many, many births. So we don't want that either. So we have to actually take this chanting of the holy name very seriously. And we know the best time to do that is rising early in the morning, having a normal life. Someone said earlier that now I'm getting up every day and chanting and coming and associating with the devotees, attending Mangalarti. Finally, I have a normal life. Because before they were working so late at night, they couldn't get up early. And I was thinking, isn't it amazing? The viewpoint of the devotees. Normal life means getting up at 3 a.m. That's normal. Most people, when I tell them what time I get up, they're like, wow, are you crazy? You know? What time? The first question always, what time do you go to bed? I say, we don't need to talk about that. But I get up in the morning at 3. So it's like, you know. But that's it. That's what we have to do. That's the sacrifice. You rise early and you take the chanting seriously. And we come together with the devotees and we hear and chant together. And this process is exceptionally purifying and beneficial for all of us. So like that. So I'll finish here. The last two verses take us to asakti, where we're so attached that even a moment feels like 10,000 years or more. We're so attached. You know, it's like an addiction. We can't do without it. We have to have it. And then, of course, ashishava pararitam panoshtamam, this level of bhakti, bhava bhakti, level of bhava bhakti that there's no one else other than Krishna. And we know in the CC, those verses, that last verse leads up to the mood of Srimati Radharani, where her mood is so intense of love for Krishna that even complete anxiety given to her by Krishna becomes her greatest pleasure, as long as it's giving pleasure to Krishna. So this is something that most of us can't fathom, because if I'm not getting the nectar, you know, then there's a problem here. So like that. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Anyone has any comments, corrections?